plan, I get approval from the Tartar Land. I'm saying this, right? Whatever is the outcome, and we know what the outcome would be, that there is an obligation. This government is going out of power, and they have not told us what is the position with Four Seasons. They have not told us what is the position. You know, we need to know if these contracts have been signed, and we would not be saddled by anything that took place during abstinism. You know?
What I can encourage you to do, though, is put these questions to your party as well. Let them put the questions. Because we need more answers. We get a lot
one
of questions.
I can let you go. One final point.
My God, shooting on this plane out the sky, though.
No, one final point.
Jeez, no.
I told you that really works. I told you of an incident up here by me. I am saying that the reason why I am here now because where they work, and I'm sure that before the day out, somebody would get the answers to the question that I would ask. Even if they crucify me by trying to provide the answers, I don't mind. But we need the answers. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very, very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Karaoke lovers in VOB country, tune in this and every Thursday from 9:35 p.m. for the HQ Headquarters Sports Bar Karaoke Thursdays from HQ Sports Bar, Roebuck Street, opposite Police Sports Club. Listen in and sing along to your favorite tunes as participants carry their own key for fun and prizes galore. DJ for the night is DJ Triple X. Listen in for Karaoke Thursdays from HQ Sports Bar on VLB 92.9 FM from 9:35 p.m. this Thursday.
Month in review, April 2018. The personalities, the issues.
I believe that Democratic Labour Party is ready to contest the election in the 30 constituencies and that they are ready to deliver a victory.
The Barbados Labour Party is ready because we believe that we can do far better.
From the first day this building opened, persons have complained about the environment in the building. So there must be some fundamental thing with the building itself.
In Barbados.
See the walls in the world, everything looked normal, happy and everything. So. Beat me there.
Well, everybody basically shocked to see what happened, and that's the truth. Everybody, everyone.
And around the world.
Winnie Madikizela Mandela was in her early 20s when she was thrown into the political spotlight.
Month in review. Sunday, May 6th at 1:15 p.m. With the compliments of Apex Construction, providing affordable housing solutions. Call 420-8404.
Barbados! Start your soca engines and rev it up with Bajan Soca Royalty. Starcom Network, in association with Quapova City, presents Soca Ignition. Be in the Soca Kingdom at Bagatelle Great House on Saturday, June 2nd from 9 p.m. for the best of Bajan Soca Royalty. Sweet Soca King, RPB.
Oh yes, the water rough.
Soca Queen, Allison Hine.
The dance on fire.
Multiple Sweet Soca, Party Monarch, and Road March King, Edwin Yearwood. People's Monarch, Sanctuary.
But if I drink too much.
Former Road March Kings, Lead Pipe and Sadis. Reigning Party Monarch, Lil Rick. And the Prince of Bajan Soca, Hyper Sounds. Plus the Trini Soca Kings, Voice, Ravi B, and the Soca King of New York, Lyrical. Tickets are available at $70 general and $300 VIP from Lucky Horseshoe, Bridgetown, Warrens, Worthing, and Bagatelle. CS Pharmacy in Bridgetown, A&B Music Supplies in Sheraton, Smart Store, Lime Grove, Eddie's Supermarket in Sprightstown, Lil Munchkin in Sky Mall, Starcom Network on River Road, and online at www.ticketnation.com. Soca Ignition, Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom by Bagatelle Great House.
It will be like a movie,
so get your tickets now.
Oh, yes. I cheat even the prettiest girls all over me.
Okay, this one, I want to go back to this one. This one says, Corey, keep trying. One of these days you may succeed, but as for now, you're spinning top in mud. We have agricultural technocrats. We don't have people with a genuine interest in nor a vision for agriculture. That's partly the reason why you encounter so many brick walls when seeking help from officials, from official agricultural sources. These people are all about meetings and conferences and seminars. They are not about cassava, potatoes, and vegetables. Up to last night, I heard how much demand there is for our Sea Island cotton. This must be nearly 40 years we've been hearing about this wonder product that grows nowhere else in the world. If that industry were up and running now, we might not be in the foreign exchange position we are in now. But no, today, we are still talking about it. My producer stands and applauds at that particular email. So, and I don't stand with him, but I do stand with him on the point. Okay. This one saying, Corey, I'm canvassing in St. Michael's, South Central. And do you know that almost all the young people we met there left school in the last 8 to 10 years, never held down a job yet? Okay, this one says, good morning, Corey. Miss Africa don't need to be engaged. She just needs to make her points, which are very valid. Corey, please remind your audience that they were misled by the final caller on Friday who said that the DLP started their 63rd anniversary celebration with a church service and not the BLP. You did not counter this on truth, as the BLP started their 80th anniversary with a church service, which was held 3 Sundays ago after the 8 o'clock mass at the cathedral for only BLP, and the entire church was packed from the main floor to the balcony and was being followed by 2,000 on Facebook and 3,500 on the BLP stream, as compared to the DLP last Sunday when only 28 people followed on Facebook when the Prime Minister was speaking about 60 in the church. Now, it wasn't Friday, it was Monday, and if you would recall, the theme came upon me, and the theme usually means you have to go. So we had to go, and I did say that, you know, both parties go to church. That's really the main point. I didn't have to say the exact day and the exact time that they went to church. Both parties go to church. That's the point that I made. So let's go back to the telephone lines at 8 minutes after 11 o'clock and say good morning to the next caller that's there. Welcome to the program.
Good morning to you, Mr. Lay.
Good morning. Good to have you on the program. Welcome.
Right, and to you too. And I would like you to treat me like Miss Africa.
Okay, go ahead. Read your submission.
Not really. I don't really want a monologue, you know, but I would just like to make my points, mm-hmm. and you respond.
Okay.
Right? But I must ask for your apology, though, when I was talking, when it was talking about white businesses, right? I should have said business people, because I understand that it is a white business that came to your aid when you needed help.
What are you talking about?
Well, I understand you didn't need a bus and someone came to your aid.
You mean Rotary West is a white organization or a white business?
Maybe the person that told me so had it get it wrong then.
Usually when people talking about BRD, they just get it wrong.
Huh?
I'm accustomed to that. I swore accustomed to that right now.
You're accustomed to that?
Yeah, it was the bus we got, it was a triple effort, really. The Ministry of Finance would have granted duty free. NASCO would have made a significant donation to cut down on the costs. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the cost was picked up by Rotary West. So you would have to give kudos to all three. So no white business came and bailed me out, and therefore I need to speak on behalf of white businesses. That is very far from the truth.
Right. So you still got to give kudos to the government then?
Yeah, I give kudos to everybody involved.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What are you saying?
I was going to say that don't believe, because if the government assists the organization I'm working with, it doesn't mean that I would only give them kudos or can only speak good on their behalf. It doesn't work like that for me. You understand?
Right, I agree.
They are supposed to do. I'm a registered charity doing authentic work. Therefore, they have at their discretion to approve or reject any proposal sent. And they can approve, I would do what I have to do here. They can reject, I would do what I have to do here the same way.
Right. I got a lot of respect for you, Mr. Allen, and the gentleman that they look after the vagrants, mm-hmm. homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you are two positive young men that I have a lot of respect for. Now, it's certain that if you're all in politics, you all could have get, you know, within a seat easily. Right.
Now you're going to come again, invite you to come and give us some assistance.
I have to. Oh, I have
Are you serious? So I thought you when I meet you down in Six Roads again. I can come and look for you, so you can point out hat and hide again.
I hear you. But I seriously though, I will call what you and the gentleman that represent the homeless what real representation is all about. Because I would only go into politics, Corey, as if I had, like, I feel the wealthy. Because, I mean, I would do things for people. I ain't waiting for the taxpayers' money to do it. You need the some of the taxes too, right, to do things. I know you ain't got all that money to help. But I would do things if I was a man that had money. Because I want to
get
a certain amount
of
money.
I try not to remember. I won't engage you, so I don't. Just tell me if I cut the name too much.
Well, you cut the name.
Okay, go ahead.
Cause I got some things to say. If you cut in, you cut in.
I just wanted to make a point there that was actually burning on me, and that is the someone asked, you know, where's Jason Carmichael? Where's these people, right? And it's people like Chantal Monroe Knight and a lot of people who would have been looked at as promising people coming through. And they make similar points to what you may have just known. And I think it's really sad. I see people actually doing genuine work and got this nice heart and so on. And they say, no, Corey, I don't want to get involved in the politics. It's too dirty or I don't got any money. Those are the two things they say. It's too dirty and I ain't got no money. So then party and politics only for people that got money or that not against being in something that dirty. You understand what I mean? So then we as a country will not benefit if that continues or if that mindset continues.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
Go ahead.
Because I would actually show the DLP what really representation is all about. Because I consider people think I support the Democratic Party, but you got to choose the lesser of the two evils. I choose them as the lesser, right? I mean, the bees can say, well, my party is the greater. Right? So what I'm saying, in St. Philip, I believe the St. Philip people more got a heart for the Democratic Party. But down here, I don't care what they say about my representative that in the St. Philip West. Right? He doing what he's supposed to do. So the king can't come and get him so easy. Right? Remember St. Philip, that be St. Philip North. He doing what he's supposed to do. Who the honest body that is on certain boat here, out here is out in the South. Because to me, since the Democratic Party didn't seem to have get a good candidate for that constituency since Harold Blackman left that constituency, as far as it's concerned, right? Because I hear a lot of things about the gentleman that's supposed to be representing them people that ain't sound too good at all, right? So I know that. I wonder if he want to go and contest that seat. But it's the people that got to actually make that decision, right?
But people here on the WhatsApp have been asking. I've actually seen a message, I think, this morning. It says, "Hi, Corey, can anybody tell Barbados what has become of the voice of the present Minister of Agriculture? His silence lately is deafening." So can you speak to that?
All right. Don't mind the silence being deafening. I know he might got issues with him and his party members and so on, right?
So there's not. When election is called, there's unity, even if it's just the portrayal of unity. So when you say that you will make the party appear that is not united.
I ain't gonna be no yard phone or nothing. So I can speak how I see it, right? I believe that Mr. Essex didn't get what he wanted. That he would probably like to be the finance minister. He'd probably like to be that, and he get put the places, and he still take it, and they would say that he take it with good strength, right?
Okay.
Because if you the shadow minister of economics all the time, and then ask you come to power to put you in places nowhere, look like if you, I don't think he was demoted though, right? Really, right? The one person I think was demoted was the labor minister, cause she's taking labor since then, right? So,
But to me, I don't know where this thing came from that the ministry should have grades and so on. I think you should go in the ministry and do the best of your ability. I understand like things like the attorney general and finance minister because they have some extra powers and so on, even alluded to in the constitution, right? In terms of the finance minister can make law by word of mouth, and I understand he's the only person that can do that. Then he has a certain time or she has a certain time to bring it back to the house. And the attorney general, prime minister have constitutional allowances that are made for them, as you know. So I understand that. But outside of that, I think you should go, especially if you want a particular ministry, you go and prove yourself. And then after proving yourself, you are able then to be in a position to show your strength. We got to stick a pin here and we'll take a break, and then we'll come back to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks.
Starcom Network and Crop Over City would like to say a big thank you to our sponsors and partners of Soca Ignition. Our platinum sponsors, Mount Gay Rum and Remy Martin 1738, Jewish Whiskey, True Scotch Live True, Heineken, Open Your World, and Mackeson. Our bronze sponsor, Flow, always connected, always faster. And our associate sponsors and partners, Absolute, Barefoot Wines, Bailey's Original Irish Cream, G4S, Infinity on the Beach Hotel, Island Ice, JP Chenet, KFC, It's Finger Lickin' Good, Nation News, Sunny Biz Transport, TicketNation.bb, and Hot 95.3 FM. Soca Ignition! Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom, Bagatelle Great House. Start your Soca engines and rev it up with Soca Royalty.
Month in review, April 2018. The personalities, the issues.
I believe that Democratic Labour Party is ready to contest the election in the 30 constituencies and that they are ready to deliver a victory.
The Barbados Labour Party is ready because we believe that we can do far better.
From the first day this building opened, persons have complained about the environment in the building. So there must be some fundamental thing with the building itself.
In Barbados,
see the walls and the world, everything looked normal, happy and everything. So beat me there.
Well, everybody basically shocked to see what happened, and that's the truth. Everybody. Everyone.
And around the world.
Winnie Madikizela Mandela was in her early 20s when she was thrown into the political spotlight.
Month in review. Sunday, May 6th at 1:15 p.m. With the compliments of Apex Construction, providing affordable housing solutions. Call 420-8404.
This is Down to Brass Tacks. We are breaking the normal trend of the program to cross over to the Central Bank's news conference. Given the concern about the Barbados economy and the upcoming general elections on May the 24th, there would certainly be a heightened sense of interest in what the governor of the Central Bank is saying. And for that reason, therefore, we're going to bring you live coverage of that. The press conference is already in progress with Governor of the Central Bank, Cleverston Haynes.
Is what has to be addressed. And the point which we keep coming back to is that we have deficits which we are no longer in a position to be able to finance. You get breathing room when you are in a position to be able to finance the deficits that you have. We are no longer in that situation. Therefore, we have to address the situation of the deficits. But we also need external funding to help support, particularly capital works. It sort of concerns us that the capital works is right now less than 2% of GDP. That is not going to help with your, as much as we would like, with your long-term economic growth. The need to make sure that we have a physical infrastructure, and as you know, there are challenges at present to the physical infrastructure, and therefore we're going to need to spend on that physical infrastructure. But there are trade-offs. As the more you spend on the physical infrastructure, it may mean, therefore, that you have to spend less on your current expenditure. But part of the advantage of your developing the physical infrastructure is that you can also get foreign funding to assist with the financing of that infrastructure. That often takes time, but it has to be the direction in which we have to go. And presumably, whatever administration comes in the next few weeks, we focus on how we can enhance the infrastructure and how we can enhance the project flows that go with that infrastructural development.
Joel.
Hello, good morning. I'm Joel Braffa, Advocate Newspaper. First of all, Mr. Haynes, I want to go back to the last press conference when it was said that the output of sugar right now does not make much of a difference to the performance of the economy. But in the press release issued today, you're saying that because the sugar crop started late, you know, that was one of the factors contributing to the economic decline. So I want you to clarify that.
Yes.
The other thing is that I want to find out from you, what would have happened to the Barbados economy if there was no NSRL? Would we have been in a better position, as pointed out by former governor, Dr. Delaware?
Okay, let's deal with the first one. The thing with sugar is, and when we look at sugar on a on overall, for the full year, it's relatively small in the context of the overall contribution to GDP. But I think, and this is, as I said, a methodological issue which we have to look at to make sure that sugar is not overweighted during the first quarter, that once you had that situation of no physical output during the first quarter, and as I say, it will reverse itself by the time you come to the end of the second quarter, then during that short period, it does have, to my view, what seems like a disproportionate effect on overall economic activity. I can assure you that we have agonized over this same issue as we went through the numbers. We don't want to change the methodology midstream. We want to be able to review the methodology because it has to be a consistent methodology that we come to the public with. But it was something that concerned us that because of that zero output in the first quarter, it had what appears to be a disproportionate impact on the overall GDP for the quarter. I think the original statement that you referred to at the last press conference, I think that still holds. In relation to your other question, I really don't want to speculate. The challenge which has been identified and which we needed to address is that we need to bring that fiscal deficit down. However we approach the reduction in that deficit, I'm sure it was sure to reduce economic activity once you try to do a major change. The issue, therefore, would have to be the size of the adjustment rather than simply the nature of the tax. Because once you implement a major adjustment, and this was identified as far back as I think or July, the anticipation was that it was going to have an adverse impact on economic activity. And whatever measures you took to get an adjustment of that order was likely to have an impact, an adverse impact on economic activity. I'm not really in a position right now to give the magnitudes of different types of measures, but surely there would have been a contraction once you tried an adjustment of that magnitude.
The answer.
Good morning, DeAnza, Robert Starkom Network. Governor, how urgent would you say that government need to address the issue of asset sales? And also looking at the financial sector, what would you say would have attributed to the mortgage rate falling to 5.6%?
Okay. The asset sales are important. Going back to the point which we raised earlier, that we have a deficit which we are no longer able to finance. And so what the asset sales do is that they give you temporary accommodation to close the gap between what you are able to finance through your ordinary revenues and that deficit. It's not a long-term solution in the sense that, you know, you're not constantly selling assets, but I think one has to identify what are the assets which government no longer needs to carry, which can also help to ease the adjustment process during this difficult period. Your second question, I missed.
The decline in the mortgage rate.
Hmm? Oh, the mortgage rate. Well, the mortgage rate, I think, reflects the overall two factors. Obviously, one is the the low level of credit growth in recent years, I think, would be an inducement to the banks to reduce their rates. Plus, the cost of funds, as you are aware, has gotten considerably lower since the central bank would have reduced the minimum or eliminated the minimum deposit rate as a policy tool. Therefore, the cost of funds has come down. And I think one of the benefits of that is that you're getting a lower mortgage rate.
Ryan.
Ryan Broome, CBC News. Governor, given the contraction in the first quarter and the fact that we're in a position now where we need urgent foreign exchange inflows, we have to come down to the question of options. Do you believe that the IMF is the best option to source those foreign exchange inflows at this stage?
So we're going to leave the live portion of the Central Bank Governor's News Conference. And since we missed the beginning of it, we're going to give you the statement that he delivered at the start of this news conference, because that particular statement is very important in getting an understanding of the performance of the Barbados economy in the first 3 months of the year. That statement should last about 11 minutes. So here's what he had to say. Governor of the Central Bank, Cleverston Haynes.
Good day. Today I want to share with you details of Barbados' economic performance for the first 3 months of 2018. The Barbados economy is estimated to have contracted by 0.7% during the first quarter of 2018. This performance reflects the combined impact of a decline in rail output in the tourism sector, the slowing of construction activity, the late start to the annual sugar harvest, and the slowdown of domestic demand arising from budgetary measures announced in the May 2017 budget. The supply of foreign exchange was more than adequate to meet market demand on a timely basis during the quarter, thus enabling foreign exchange dealers to sell some of their surpluses to the central bank. However, higher public sector debt service obligations than usual contained the growth of international reserves at the central bank to $14 million for the period. As a result, the import cover of 6.9 weeks at the end of March remained below the 12-week minimum holding that the bank considers as adequate. Government's fiscal consolidation efforts during fiscal year 2017-2018 led to a modest improvement in the primary balance and an overall reduction in the fiscal deficit from the previous year. But there was a significant deviation from the targeted outcome. This outturn is attributable to delays in the execution of planned divestment activities, the underperformance of revenue, particularly the National Social Responsibility Levy and the value-added tax, and higher interest expenditure than originally envisaged. Turning to the rail sector. Rail value added in the tourism sector is estimated to have declined by approximately 1% compared to the 4.5% expansion in the corresponding period of 2017. Long-stay arrivals rose by 5.8%, with data up to February indicating that visitors from the key source markets of the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom were up by 5.1%, 10.1%, and 6.5% respectively. However, the strong growth of shorter-staying North American arrivals, who now account for 42% of annual arrivals compared to 36% in 2014, was offset by a reduction in the overall average length of stay. Preliminary indicators are that cruise tourism activity was unchanged from the year before. Overall traded sector activity was also dampened by the delayed commencement of the sugar harvest, principally because of the late receipt of payments by the private cane owners for the prior year's crop. The harvest is expected to be slightly above the level of output in 2017, with production occurring during the second quarter of the year. In contrast to the first quarter growth of 2.3% in 2017, activity in the non-traded sectors is estimated to have been flat. Following its robust performance during the first quarter of 2017, output in the construction sector weakened, the result of the culmination of mainly tourism-related projects that supported activity last year, while new tourism-related projects continued to be delayed. Preliminary data suggests that the other non-traded sectors were adversely impacted by the fall-off in domestic demand caused in part by the tightening of fiscal policy. The average unemployment rate for the four quarters ending December 2017 was 10% compared to 9.7% for the previous year, but the average level of unemployed persons remained relatively stable. As expected, The fiscal measures were manifested in higher prices, but the potential impact was cushioned by the exemptions from the hike in the NSRL that were granted to a basket of consumer goods. In addition, with international energy prices trending upwards, particularly during the second half of 2017, domestic inflation reached 4.5% at the end of January 2018, relative to 2% a year earlier. The bank's net purchase of foreign exchange from the commercial banks was at its highest in 3 years. Foreign exchange availability benefited from the gains in net export of services as tourism earnings increased by an estimated 2.1%. At the same time, higher oil prices, increased consumer imports, and slightly weaker commodity exports offset some of the gains derived from tourism. However, the improvement in reserves was smaller than that for the same period last year, as the gains were eroded by higher debt service. Over the first 3 months of 2018, the international reserves held by the central bank increased by $14 million to end the quarter at $423 million. The financial sector remains stable, as reflected in above normal levels of capital adequacy and liquidity. These trends were driven in part by the ongoing weak growth in credit to the private sector, despite a relatively benign interest rate environment. The weighted average deposit and loan rates remain virtually unchanged, but the average mortgage rate continues to fall, reaching 5.6% from 5.9% 1 year prior. For the first quarter of 2018, excess cash liquidity in the banking system stood at 14.7%, down from 17.5% for the similar period in 2017, following the central bank's decision to raise the requirement on commercial banks' holdings of government securities. This policy decision had the simultaneous effect of substantially reducing the excess securities ratio. Turning to the public sector, the fiscal deficit fell by almost 1.5 percentage points to 4.2% in fiscal year 2017-2018. However, this was significantly above the small surplus targeted in the May 2017 budget, as government attempted to reduce its borrowing requirement and place the debt on a downward trajectory. The consolidation effort resulted in an improved primary surplus balance of 3.9% compared to 2.4% in fiscal year 2016-2017. Total revenues expanded by 6.5% on the basis of increased tax receipts on goods and services. Over half the increased indirect tax state came from the National Social Responsibility Levy, the cornerstone of the new measures introduced in May 2017. However, exemptions from the tax for certain categories of goods and the fall in non-oil imports during the latter half of 2017 dampened the overall collection. The yields from excise taxes and VAT were up by 36% and 4% respectively, but the increase in the VAT did not meet expectations. In contrast, import duties actually declined. Taxes on incomes rose marginally as a one-time boost in corporate tax receipts was largely offset by declines in withholding taxes. The new foreign exchange fee and the transfer of profits by the central bank contributed almost 1% of GDP to non-tax revenues, which remained stable. Non-interest current expenditure rose by 4% as increased grants to public institutions and to individuals, a partial result of higher retirement benefits, negated a sharp decline in capital expenditure, arising from a slowdown in the number of public projects undertaken in fiscal year 2017-18. However, interest expenses increased moderately, accounting for 8% of GDP and absorbing 26% of revenue. Foreign finance project inflows were insufficient to offset foreign loan payments of $293 million. As a result, the fiscal deficit was mainly financed by commercial banks, which provided funding equal to more than 3% of GDP due to the change in monetary policy via the securities reserve requirement. Central bank financing fell to 1% of GDP when compared to the previous fiscal year, when it reached 9%. The private non-bank entities also reduced their exposure to government. As at March 2018, the gross central government debt, including borrowings from the central bank and the national insurance scheme, rose to 151% of GDP. Part of the increase, 2.3 percentage points, was attributable to the issuance of securities to cover the resolution costs associated with protecting the policyholders of Clico International Life Insurance Limited. The government has also created a contingent liability by guaranteeing the payment of principal and interest of the bonds issued by New Life Investment Company, approximately 1.7 percentage points. a further increase in debt equivalent to just over 1 percentage point of GDP designed to protect British American Insurance Company policyholders occurred early in the second quarter. And now the outlook. The outlook for the Barbadian economy remains challenging. Decisive stabilization measures that place the public finances on a sustainable path, alter the trajectory for international reserves, and create the conditions for strong, durable growth are now needed. Addressing the public finances remains a priority, so as to stabilize and ultimately grow the economy. Our efforts to date have not resulted in bringing the fiscal deficit to a manageable level. The demand for local government securities has declined, and the excess of external debt service over external borrowing continue to create added financing pressure. The impact of these developments in recent years has been a buildup of domestic arrears and increased reliance on central bank financing. The current borrowing requirement for fiscal year 2018-2019 therefore needs to be reduced. The task at hand is to implement a strategy that reduces the current year deficit, builds the platform for strengthening the public finances over the medium term, and fosters an environment that creates access to external funding. In addition, we need to create the fiscal space to enable infrastructural development that promotes long-term growth. In these circumstances, improving the outlook requires government's fiscal strategies to embrace durable expenditure reforms, including for state-owned enterprises, and improve tax administration. Given the estimated downturn in tourism in the first quarter and ongoing delays in project startups, the bank has revised downward its current growth forecast for 2018 within the range of -0.25% to 0.25%. This outturn is likely to be further influenced by the speed and nature of fiscal adjustment policies and the quantum of new investment. However, the outlook for growth requires an overall policy framework that includes measures to strengthen the business environment, promote competitiveness, spur innovation, and encourage emerging sectors such as alternative energy. Sustainable growth must be underpinned by an adequate foreign exchange reserve buffer. The modest reserve growth in the first quarter and into April needs to be supported by further inflows in light of debt service commitments and the risk of rising international oil prices. In this regard, the ongoing uncertainty related to asset sales remain a source of concern. Accessing increased public and private sector capital flows is therefore warranted to strengthen the reserve's position. Achieving these objectives is a major undertaking that requires commitment and focus by all stakeholders. I thank you.
Well, that was a press conference on the review of the Barbados' economy January to March 2018 by Central Bank of Barbados Governor Cleveson Haynes, speaking with the media about Barbados' economic performance in the first 3 months of 2018 on the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks.
VOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year. 1 year. One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Thanks to Esso, Energy Lives Here, Flow, Always Connected, Always Faster, KFC, Finger Licking Good, Larry Dash Craft Shop, the original craft shop on Bay Street for quality products and the best prices, accents and decor, your space, your style, and LED illuminations, a brighter, greener future. Sweet life in VOB country.
Barbados! Start your soca engines and rev it up with Bajan Soca Royalty. Starcom Network, in association with Cropover City, presents Soca Ignition. Be in the Soca Kingdom at Bagatelle Great House on Saturday, June 2nd from 9 p.m. for the best of Bajan Soca Royalty. Sweet Soca King, RPB.
Oh yes, the water rocks.
Soca Queen, Allison Hines. Multiple Sweet Soca, Party Monarch, and Road March King, Edwin Yearwood. People's Monarch, Sanctuary.
But if I drink too much.
Former Road March Kings, Lead Pipe and Sadis.
In a living less than me, I'm done. I'm feeling.
Reigning Party Monarch, Lil Rick.
Who got the energy? I got the energy.
And the Prince of Bajan Soca, Piper Sounds.
Dip, 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 dip.
Plus, the Trini Soca Kings, Voice, Ravi B, and the Soca King of New York, Lyrical. Tickets are available at $70 general and $300 VIP from Lucky Horseshoe, Bridgetown, Warren's, Worthing, and Bagatelle. CS Pharmacy in Bridgetown, A&B Music Supplies in Sheraton, Smart Store, Lime Grove, Eddie's Supermarket in Sprightstown, Lil Munchkin in Sky Mall, Starcom Network on River Road, and online at www.ticketnation.bb. Soca Ignition, Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom by Gatel Great House. It will be like a movie, so get your tickets now!
Oh, yeah. I cheat even the prettiest girls all over me.
So you would have heard the Central Bank Governor Corey speak about the Foreign Reserve's position. But there's a further comment which has been made arising from a question which was put to him a short while ago. Let's share that with you as well before we come back to the full flow of this edition of Down to Brass Tacks.
Christina.
Good morning, Governor. Christina Smith, Loop News, Barbados. You see, government was able to improve the Foreign Reserve's situation up by $14 million, considering that tourism receipts will be down in this quarter and the foreign debt payments due in the middle of the year. Is the trajectory for the Foreign Reserve expected to go up or down over the next quarter?
Mm-hmm. Over the next quarter, I think there's been some discussion, and I want to address this point. In 1991, as part of the adjustment effort, the several private sector entities came together and provided, on a voluntary basis, support to the central bank to help keep our liquidity at a certain level while we went through the adjustment phase. And once the adjustment was over, we were able to return those funds to those individuals. The bank contemplates that we will do some similar exercise on this occasion. And we do so on the understanding that in the early 2000s, I think around 2000, 2003, 2004, the bank allowed some of our corporate entities, particularly in the financial sector, which had large investment balances, to invest some of those balances abroad on the condition that should the country need them in the future, that those funds would be returned to assist as they were done in 91, and we would reciprocate in much the same way as we did once the challenge in 91 was over. We would reciprocate by allowing them to take those funds back out. That is what we envisage, and therefore, in that context, we anticipate that we should be able to stabilize the foreign reserves during the second quarter once we start to receive those funds.
The answer.
Governor, what major loan payment we have during this year?
Well, our major loan payment is related to the Credit Suisse loan, which we took on around 2013, 2014. That is really our major one. And, you know, it's public knowledge. We have two loan payments, one in June and one in December, which we have met and which we anticipate continuing to meet during the current year.
Joel?
Yeah. On the point that you made, where you announced that the bank would be seeking some sort of support from the private sector. Mm-hmm. First of all, could you give us more details, and then how much money are we thinking about in terms of those funds coming back into Barbados? And how optimistic you are mm-hmm. that the private sector will come to your assistance?
We're still in the process of negotiation and discussion. We are sort of initially targeting somewhere in the ballpark of 60 to 70 million U.S. to support us. I think that the private sector will be willing to act in what I consider to be the national interests. I think that it is not a situation where one is trying to deprive them of their foreign assets, but really for them. And the mechanisms of doing it may vary according to the entity. What some entities did in 91 and what I know that some of them would be contemplating is really to leverage their foreign assets in order to get us the funds. So they don't necessarily have to liquidate the asset, but they're able to use it as security in terms of on lending to the country. This is something that, as I said, we've done before and which we believe is something which is desirable at this time to ensure that we maintain adequate reserve buffers. Clearly, it is not enough. It needs to be supported, therefore, by the completion of the asset sales. But that is where we intend to focus.
Staying with that issue, you know that in situations like what you have described, a private sector entity or private sector entities could very well ask for certain guarantees from the government or the central bank in terms of, and I know not, I'm not asking you to delve back into that, but like conclude an arrangement with the IMF so as to guarantee a cushion of foreign reserves, foreign exchange flows into the country. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that could be one of the issues that the central bank might be faced with? And then some months ago, I heard the Minister of Finance suggesting that the central bank was borrowing, trying to conclude a foreign loan. Is that what he was referring to?
Yeah, I believe that's what the minister was referring to at the time. My discussions at present are not predicated on providing such guarantees as the ones to which you allude.
That's the governor of the Central Bank of Barbados, Cleverston Haynes, speaking to the news media a short while ago at his news conference and taking questions from some of the journalists there. Overall, though, the picture that has been painted here, Corey, it's not a very encouraging one.
Not flattering at all.
Not at all. And it really will bring into sharp focus the timing of elections, because with this kind of report card, there's hardly anybody going into a general election campaign that would want to have this as the last report that they will be taking to the country on the country on the economic performance of Barbados. So it's left to be seen how the ruling Democratic Labour Party is going to address this particular matter as it sets out to try to encourage Barbadians to believe that it is worth the while to put their future in their hands, not only against the backdrop of this report, but against the backdrop of the general economic performance that we have had over the last 5 years and even beyond that, you know?
I would have to see the ruling Democratic Labour Party bring a message of hope, and it is so hard to climb out from the position that had been laid out just moments ago. David, I want to tap into your experience, the little time we got just before the OCM, and ask you, in your history of following things like these, have you ever seen anything like this? We've had such a delay.
This is a very interesting period, because we are still waiting to see the Democratic Labour Party unveil its campaign. I'm sure that the Barbados Labour Party has not fully unveiled its own, but it is more present in this campaign so far than the Dems have been. And the question is, what is happening within that particular camp? Why is it that they are so low-key? And, you know, it tends to create an environment in which some people believe that a political party, the two established political parties, have people who are strategists and who are capable of pulling off something miraculous at the last minute and obviously, according to some people, they must have something big up their sleeve. That is quite possible. But it is very dangerous to operate on the premise that you have got some bombshell. So what happens if that fibs? In your judgment, you may think that it is big enough to cause the people, your opponents, to scatter. But a lot has to do with the overall thinking of a majority of the people.
I don't see any scandal really overshadowing the economic performance. Like, people are now about the bread and butter and their pockets. So the bombshell would have to be something economic in my mind. They've discovered some money trees or something across the East Coast.
No, I think that is more a personality-driven issue. If something is said, it will be something said about someone.
No, I believe that, but I don't think that that would be effective in this climate right now.
No, I don't
think
so.
I think people are about their cupboards, they're about their fridge, they're about their gas tank, they're about their medicine cabinet. But to me, this continues along the style of the Prime Minister, who've always carried a style of mystique and mystery. And we continue to have that going into the election. The election day has been called. We don't even know what the campaign of the Democratic Labour Party will look like.
Well, they may be coming with a blitz. We'll just have to wait and see.